Please introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Michelle Bravo. I'm a San Francisco mayoral candidate, military veteran, small business and homeowner here in San Francisco.
And can you give me a one-minute version of why you should be mayor of San Francisco?
One-minute version, gee. Okay. Well, I am the only military veteran, so I have experience there. I have experience in the corporate world, and I also have experience working for myself. That gives me a pretty varied background to implement a lot of different ideas done in some ways that maybe can help to change things. So that's something. The others, I mean, I come from the heart, but I'm also coming from the head. I've got a good balance of both. My master's is in psychotherapy. Again, I served in the military. I've worked for corporate entities and marketing. So I'm able to see both sides of an equation and get community input and make the right decision.
Thank
or whatever
you.
It may be, yeah.
And feel free to have water whenever you want.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to have my coffee whenever I want to.
Sure.
Can you describe for me the neighborhood where you live?
Sure. Bayview. It used to be known as kind of a butchering neighborhood back at the turn of the last century. It's had a varied population over the last several years. I know that it is mostly... Well, it was for a long time mostly black community based on the fact that we had the Naval Shipyard. A lot of folks saw opportunity right after the war and came from all over the country to come and work here. And so we have a lot of wonderful families living here who come from that pedigree of, you know, workers from the SF Naval Shipyard. Some as long as 61, 45 have had an opportunity to talk to some of the residents, 61, 45 years. And, you know, they're worried, just like I am, about what's going on with that naval shipyard. They've been worried for years, for decades. And it's finally coming to light that we really do have a problem over there. And no one trusts Tetra Tech as far as they can throw them, quite frankly.
And Tetra Tech is the company that was charged with taking soil samples for the Navy for a development that Lennar is putting out there. This is about 12,000 housing units, and it was found that Tetra Tech was falsifying these records, documents.
That is my understanding, yes.
What do you think should be done about that?
Well, there are 300 families currently living on what could potentially be toxic soil. In terms of what we need to do, you know, if I were San Francisco mayor, I would actually go straight to the federal government, Trump or no Trump, and say, look, you know, what the heck is going on? We need independent testing away from the Navy, away from Tetra Tech, and we need to make sure that these families, some of them have infants. Infants have very thin skin. And they're very vulnerable, and that's really my concern right there because I do work in the health field. These people are potentially breathing in, absorbing into their tissues toxicity that is irreversible because it's radiation. So we need to do a much more serious look at this, and we also need to do the same thing for Treasure Island. This is Jane Kim's district, and I am shocked that she hasn't said more since this is right in her district and she is a mayoral candidate. And that goes for London Breed. Our current supervisor board president there's not a peep from her about either of these things. Both of them have been focused only on the do-goods that they've done, which haven't really done that well, you know, they haven't really done that good for the community. Because if you look around, we've got dirty streets, we've got a huge homeless population, and it's a mess. That's why I ran.
Well, we're going to talk about a few of these different items. One of them is litter in San Francisco. What would you think should be done about San Francisco's litter problem?
Well, first of all, I would make sure that we're not issuing needles anymore. We need a better plan than having, you know, San Francisco City Hall issued needles, which then end up on our streets. And if we do have some kind of program, we need better follow-up because for whatever reason, City Hall doesn't seem to be able to follow up with the current program of issuing needles, and then they end up on the street. This is a danger to tourists. Our tourism is down. This is allowing for our businesses to suffer, which is absolutely not acceptable.
So there's that. There's a lot more than needles on the streets, too. This is
feces. Yes, I've spoken about this a number of times.
People throwing garbage wherever.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a problem here in Bayview as well. People seem to think because this has been traditionally a poorer neighborhood, even though it is in transition, that they can just throw garbage out here in the middle of what they think is nowhere. But people live here. So, yeah, there should be, you know, we've got cameras. The SFPD love to put cameras everywhere in this area. So let's have them put some more cameras so we can find out exactly, hey, who's throwing the trash and track them.
So that would take resources. Would you invest in those
resources? I absolutely would. And I'd see if any, you know, maybe there's a young burgeoning tech company that would like to donate cameras, because there's plenty of tech companies here now, aren't they? And I worked in tech. I worked for Konami of America. I worked for Eidos Interactive. I did marketing for them. So I'm not a stranger to technology. I love technology. And let's get them more involved and get them helping the city of San Francisco to do what we need them to do, not just some pet project they think is okay.
This is one of the questions I have about technology and cameras is, you know, there's so much data and information coming through. Who in the city is going to watch this?
Well, we could have the technology companies as a consultant, you know. We could put them on as a consultant. Hey, let's see what's going on. If you really want to be of help and service to our community, and apparently the last administration wanted to give them tax breaks, why don't we find a way to work with these tech companies that is going to benefit the city as well as benefit the community? Because that's part of having a business in San Francisco, is to be able to benefit our community as well as, you know, have them enrich themselves.
So just for me to be clear and capture this, essentially you're talking about trying to utilize relationships with tech companies by maybe having the city contract more with them for the public good.
For the public good. And yeah, and have them scrutinized. Maybe we need an oversight committee. I know Norman Yee had mentioned something about having some kind of oversight committee when we had all the issues with the scooters recently. And, you know, Spin, Lime, one of the founders of one of these companies, I think it's Spin, I apologize if I've got this incorrect, he actually is based out of San Diego as a former Uber executive. So this guy knew better. These are not like guys in their teens and 20s who are just, you know, throwing stuff out there. They know better. If I have to pay for a business registration as a small business owner, these folks, they need to do that as well.
So speaking of adding cameras potentially to Bayview, I mean, I know that in Bayview, as in a lot of the rest of the city, there's a lot of concern about police-community relations.
Absolutely. And I'm very concerned about that as well.
Tell me about that. What would you do in order to improve that?
So one of the things that I have been, it's been part of my platform from the beginning. Right now, we have about 70% of the SFPD and about 70% or so of the SFFD who are not, I mean, they're not required, they're not mandated to live in San Francisco. So without our first responders actually living here in San Francisco, that poses bigger issues. They're not connected to the community. Their kids don't go to school here like your kids, you know, like me. I went to school here. There's no connection to the actual folks who are here, nor is there a connection to San Francisco values. They take their very nice paychecks that they receive from our city, which is higher than if they were to work, if a police officer or a firefighter was to work in Antioch or Concord or Novato or any of these other outlying communities, their salaries would be a little bit less than what they would make if they, you know, were to work here. I want to reseed, my plan is to reseed the middle class by bringing in first responders and working with developers to ensure that they have first dibs on housing.
I pictured R-E-C-E-D-E when you said that, but you mean R-E-S-E-E-D, right?
Yeah, like to basically takes, you know, like you would plant.
Yes.
We've lost a lot of our middle class, and so this would be to bring them back in. And I say start with the first responders. We have earthquakes. We have other potential natural disasters. We just had a little one the other day. Did you feel it?
I did.
There you go. So did I. So, you know, if there's a really big one like in 1989, which I was here for, you know, we need to have them living here to help San Franciscans. They are paid by San Francisco to do this job.
I think it's difficult to recruit enough police officers. So right now, there's already a shortage. So several candidates have been talking about that. And some, like the current interim mayor, Mark Farrell, wants to increase the mandated number by about 300. And so I think that there is an issue with recruitment. And so if you're saying they all need to come from San Francisco, that might be a bit of a challenge.
It could be a bit of a challenge if we don't have housing for them. So again, working with developers to get developers to give first right of, you know, purchase to bring this middle class, because they're making middle class incomes. These are first responders, or firefighters, or police, they're EMTs. We need these folks here. We need infrastructure. They are the backbone of the community. This is something that the SFYMBs don't understand. This is something that a lot of tech execs don't understand. They think by throwing up more housing without having a backbone of first responders, of people to support our community, social workers, teachers, these kinds of people need to have City Hall's support, the state of California, and if need be, the federal government. As a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, that is how we purchased our condo in Bayview, is with my veterans benefits. There can be something done. And in terms of recruiting for SFPD, there are plenty of options. Go to your local recruiting office. There are many veterans looking for work, many of them living here, some of them on our streets. Why not find out if we can get them to work, you know, as police officers? They already have had great training being in the military.
So you think the outreach should be widened and improved by the SFPD?
Absolutely. I am not against the SFPD at all. I want them living here. I want them, again, to have their kids going to school here, to shop at our grocery stores, to drive on our bumpy streets so they want to get good, you know, better streets on San Francisco. And I want them to vote here because they are taking their salaries to other communities. They're spending their money there. Their kids go to school there. They're not helping San Francisco by living in other places.
We're speaking with Michelle Bravo. She's a candidate for mayor of San Francisco. So let's turn more specifically to housing, which you've spoken about. Let's turn to housing and homelessness. What do you think would be the best way to address San Francisco's housing affordability crisis overall?
So again, housing affordability crisis, it's interesting that that terminology has come up. Having worked in marketing, it feels very City Hall marketing to me. I feel
that's if you don't really think of the word crisis as an actual crisis, I think.
Correct, and I don't believe it is at all. We have plenty of units available. We just have folks, I mean, I'll be honest, we have a lot of landlords who don't want to rent to certain populations. If they can see and, you know, if they can make more money by renting to people who are wealthier, they're going to do that. Do you own any property?
I do.
Okay. So what would be your way of doing this? Would you want to rent to somebody who maybe had a history of violence or things like that? Your answer would be?
Wait, if I were a landlord?
If you were a landlord, are you a landlord?
I'm not a landlord.
Okay, so I'm a homeowner, you're a homeowner. If you were to rent out your place and you had an option of somebody who's going to be able to pay you $4,000 down, $4,000 for a deposit, and then whatever you're charging, okay, for rent, and then you have someone else who has subsidized housing coupons or whatever you want to call it, and they're trying to rent, and they have a background that may be questionable. They may have a drug history or something like that. Who are you going to rent to?
It depends on how badly I need the money.
Exactly. Okay, well, that's you. There are a lot of other folks who are not wanting to rent out, you know, to folks who maybe would like to get a home, but they, you know, they've got coupons, they've got, and they're like, no, we don't want to deal with the problem. So we've got that. There's it's multi-layered. It's not something that can be fixed overnight, unfortunately. In terms of results.
So are you saying that you would force landlords to be more open to?
Not force them, but if their units are empty for a number of months, then I would question that. I would say, well, if we have this supposed crisis, how are these folks contributing and are not? So for example, a lot of condos sit empty because we have a lot of people who buy pied-à-terres here, second and third homes. Okay, if those are sitting empty, why? And do we need to tax them for that? These are questions because, again, I'm new to politics and I'm learning myself. So I'd like to know more too.
Would you want to build more housing in San Francisco?
I feel, given the state that we have going on with the Treasure Island and San Francisco ship, you know, Hunters Point Shipyard development, we actually need to slow down.
Well, those two sites are, you know, former Navy bases.
I understand.
That have toxic issues and were Superfund sites.
Okay, so let's go over to the Millennial Tower over that is built over on landfill. They're building like crazy over there. What kind of controls do we have at City Hall to ensure that the next big earthquake doesn't take all that down? Because right now we have the Leaning Tower, also known as Millennial Tower, standing over there. There was even a New York Times article that I posted multiple times on my Twitter feed that outlined, hey, it's a teaching moment for you San Franciscans. Here's why you don't want to build skyscrapers. I was like, yeah, okay, why don't we know this here? The New York Times knows something we don't know? That's pretty sad for San Francisco. You know,
I mean, I don't know exactly what all the engineering and regulations go into building skyscrapers, but the Millennium Tower is it is the one, right? So there's a problem with that one.
I have not
heard about issues with other ones. I have heard,
not yet.
I've read that New York Times article. We reposted that on KALW as well.
Absolutely.
But it did talk about the liquefaction problem, but
yes.
But it's required that skyscrapers are built down into bedrock.
Well. Apparently, that didn't happen with Millennial Tower, did it? Or the Millennium Tower, did it?
I mean, I don't know exactly what the specifications were.
Neither do I. And that's my point. We need to know more. There needs to be better transparency for knowing, you know, San Franciscans, for the SFMDs, for everyone to understand what's going on here.
Let's say that the people who are making those decisions and building a lot of skyscrapers, which is happening in San Francisco, know what they're doing. And I'm sure they know better than you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
Then do you think they should continue this building boom? And do you think we should continue to try to build our way out?
So here's my concern. No, I don't. I think that we need to have better long-term planning. And I think that to be dependent on one type of industry, which is what City Hall is banking on, and that is tech. I don't care if it's, you know, look back in history. We've had small towns like Eureka, California, like go up north, that were dependent on the forestry and logging. Okay, what happened when those industries went away? You had a lot of unemployment, you had empty houses, you had property values fall. Same thing that potentially could have with technology is if something happens to this whole industry, what happens to San Francisco? Now, Mayor Farrell, current interim Mayor Farrell, he's an interim mayor, he wasn't elected, so he's an interim Mayor Farrell, he's talking about trying to do some long-term planning to curtail something like this. Well, I think it's a good idea, and we need to make sure that, again, that San Francisco, before we just build, we need to slow down, make sure that we have earthquake safety, that we have, you know, structurally these buildings are sound, that, again, our first responders are actually going to be living in some of these structures, and it is demanded by City Hall officials that, again, first responders, cops, firefighters need to live in San Francisco if they're paid by San Franciscans, which our current cops and firefighters are. If you don't live here, you can't help us in a disaster.
We're speaking with Michelle Bravo. She's a candidate for mayor of San Francisco. What would your plan look like to handle people who are currently living without homes in San Francisco?
Well, I mean, there's a number of things we can do. One of the things that I have repeated numerous times is I would love to see one of the 54 parcels of land that San Francisco already owns be developed into a holistic mental health and wellness facility. I did an internship at California Pacific Medical Center, and while I was there, I learned to work as a team. So a doctor, a nurse, a pastor, or a rabbi or somebody, and myself, I did touch for health, so basically a form of energy work and healing with the patient. So it was an entire team of individuals who rallied around this patient wherever they were in their healing process and worked together. I would advocate something similar. It would bring more jobs into San Francisco. We've got, again, some open land in Bayview. Why not make it out here? I mean, there are other options to do, because a lot of the people that are on the streets right now are either addicted to drugs or they've got some serious mental issues. And if they're sick, putting them into housing is not going to help. If they're addicted to drugs, just giving them a place to live is not going to help them. Here's why. If these folks have connections to drugs and they're trying to get off drugs, unless they are scrutinized and helped every step of the way with a team, they're going to have some challenges. It's been proven time and time again. No one is talking to this. I will speak to this because I've spoken to other people about this. We need to have a plan where it is step by step by step that each individual person is assisted and helped. And yes, there's a cost to it. So get the federal and state governments involved. San Francisco, we've got billions of dollars. Another thing would be, let's go ahead and look at all the nonprofit and for-profit, quote, homeless, unquote, programs that we currently have that are receiving city funding. I want to do a full audit on all of them if I'm San Francisco mayor, because where's all the money going? And why are these folks still on the street? We don't want to be in the business of homelessness.
Would you support then, and do you support the idea about sweeping the homeless camps?
There was legislation that was already passed by San Francisco voters in 2016 that doesn't allow for that unless they have a place to go. We had a recent sweep. I think only 6 or 9 people or something like that were actually placed because the city currently doesn't have enough room. What I'm thinking is that we have some temporary housing. What they have, you know, disaster shelters, these kinds of things. Put them on one of these properties that the city already owns. There are 54 parcels San Francisco owns. Find a way to put some temporary housing until we can get a mental health and wellness facility built. Get it built, get them into that, and then find them their own individual track.
So you're talking about kind of portable housing to put in locations,
yes,
right?
Yes, temporarily. Mm-hmm. So it's basically transitional housing. And I think that's...
Oakland's working on that right
now. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Give them an opportunity to help start healing their bodies. Get this team, a few members of the team, in there to help them with their physical health. If they're long-term street people, meaning they've been wandering the streets for years, their bodies need care. If they don't have care from a physical aspect, the brain isn't going to work properly. They're not going to be able-bodied. They need a baseline first, because it's like, I mean, I spoke and used this word before, but it really is true. In body work, I use this word with my clients. It's essentially, if you allow your body to go feral because it's hungry, because it's tired, things like that, then the animal kind of takes over and it could attack a person on the street. We've had attacks on our streets. We need to get these folks, encourage them to get them off the street. If they're resistant, then we need to get, again, a healthcare team working with the SFPD, everyone trained on de-escalation tactics so that we can comfortably help to bring these folks in who can't take care of their own bodies. They you know, get them off the streets, get them well, and then find a different plan.
That's Michelle Bravo. She's candidate for mayor of San Francisco. Let's turn to a different economic issue, and this is independent contracting. A study by Intuit, which makes the program TurboTax, found about 34% of Americans are independent contractors now, and we see that all the time in San Francisco and the Bay Area. And these people don't receive benefits. The number is trending upward. What do you think about this kind of employment?
Well, as an independent contractor myself and a small business owner, I actually enjoy working for myself. I've been in business for almost 13 years, and I used to work for corporations. I feel that it's all right, but maybe there's, you know, in terms of just, so let me back up. I feel that independent contractors maybe could use a little more information on how they can get benefits and how they can get, you know, health benefits. And maybe they need a little more information on how to better plan for retirement and things like that. That's something that City Hall could definitely spearhead to help folks. So I mean, I'm not really sure what else to say. Typically, people who I understand, and I know this for myself, if you're an independent contractor, generally, you're going to be looking for this hustle, that hustle. This is why I'm a holistic health practitioner. They keep calling me just a massage therapist. That's one of the things I do. I do aromatherapy. I do lifestyle coaching. I've trademarked my lifestyle coaching last year. I trademarked my form of lymphatic drainage in 2006. Most people are going to have many things, multiple things that they're doing to bring in an income.
What do you think about the companies that are kind of relying upon independent contractors to operate and not having them be employees, such as Lyft or Uber or these different companies?
Well, so again, these are choices that individuals are making to be independent contractors. So the onus does lie somewhat on the individuals. In terms of Lyft and Uber, you know, the city, again, did not have proper oversight for either of those. They've kind of made a mess of things, the City Hall. I mean, City Hall has, San Francisco City Hall, with regard to Lyft and Uber. And we can do better to manage this. We could have done better a few years ago, but now there's certain laws that have been passed, you know, to protect these entities. It does feel somewhat like a mess. I've received some information since I have been running for mayor from taxi organization, you know, basically asking questions, how are we going to support them? This is another big issue. We have the, there was a credit union with the taxis that I guess had received, they're suing the city over the medallion issue because many taxi drivers had gone and gotten loans for their medallions, and now
and they're
basically
like $250,000 or more.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous, and now they're worthless in the port. You know, I'm sorry, I would feel sorry for anyone if suddenly there was, it's just the timing on all of this seems really strange to me.
Do you mean late when you say strange?
Yeah, in terms of how Uber and Lyft suddenly, you know, kind of came about after this credit union was contacted for these $250,000 medallions for taxi drivers. So I feel like there can be more done to figure out how we're going to move forward. I know that I can tell you, Muni is not a safe option for many people until we deal with the folks who are currently on the streets Many of them are using Muni as a toilet, as a mobile home. Again, I have clients, I have people I know who would love to take Muni if it were on time.
Well, how would you reform Muni overall?
Muni, I think I'd take an Angela Alioto stance in terms of firing the head honcho. We need someone who's going to work as a team member to really, truly find out what's going on. Why are they not running on time? Incentivize them perhaps in some other ways. And if that doesn't work, if the carrot doesn't work, we've got to bring out the stick and say, look, you're being put on notice. You need to figure this out. And
Muni did do a overall study of how it operated and who was using it the most so that they could actually reform their lines, which they've done recently.
Okay, but they still don't have any real reliable lines coming out here to Visitation Valley now, do they? We could use a few more buses coming out here in a timely manner. We have people who live out here in Visitation Valley and Bayview who go to work, who live in San Francisco, who go to work in San Francisco, and the buses that come out here are not usually on time, or sometimes I'll see two or three in a row that are empty, and I'm going, what the heck is this, okay? So, no, there's much more work that can be done with Muni, and they know that.
Would you be interested in creating a charge for all vehicles entering San Francisco as a way to reduce traffic here?
No. Not at all.
We're speaking with Michelle Bravo. She's a candidate for mayor of San Francisco. San Francisco is one of a few cities. I'm going to turn to immigration. We're one of the few cities that designates resources and public defenders towards legal aid for undocumented immigrants. Would you plan to change how funds or personnel are directed towards those efforts?
Again, I would look at the budget. We have billions of dollars. And supposedly we need more and more. I would want to know from a budgetary standpoint, and I think initially I was asked this at the beginning of my campaign, if I was for this or against this. I think being within a good, sound budget for San Francisco taxpayers is important. I would look at that first, and then I would analyze with consultants, since again, my experience is fairly minimal in politics, find out, what would be the best plan for everyone in San Francisco for something like this. I want more information, and I would need more information before I could give a definitive decision on that.
Are you for San Francisco's the status of city and county of refuge, the sanctuary city law?
Absolutely, because San Francisco has always been a sanctuary for so many, not just immigrants, but, LGBT, just anyone who has ever felt different. They feel at home here. It's a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place in so many ways for that reason.
Since that differs from federal government policies, how far would you be willing to go with protections that you'd offer for undocumented immigrants?
Once again, the protections, I would have to look at the budget. I'm sorry, I don't have enough information. And as a cost-conscious person and wanting to ensure that, again, whether it's spending more money on the so-called homeless programs or whatever it may be, we need to look at the budgets, where the money is going. We have billions. That's a lot of money that we can use better, because I don't think it's being used as well as it could.
And then turning to the environment, how would you plan to prepare San Francisco for the effects of climate change, like sea level rise on the waterfront?
As I mentioned earlier, we need to have first responders living in San Francisco. That's very important. Anytime we have any kind of disaster, earthquake, tsunami, sea levels rising, if our first responders are not living here, they can't be of service and they can't help us.
Well, that would be
quickly.
That's a reactive policy. Would you have a proactive policy to deal with climate change?
What is
change
reactive
here?
About my policy of that's, having them? No, it's actually a long-term plan is to bring the middle class back in to have them live here. So it would take some time, but I'm all about long-term planning and goals, not short-term, not throwing up housing when we don't know if it's earthquake safe. There's a number of things that we need to slow down on, and definitely one of them is housing. The other would be to take our time and look at things. And again, if there aren't any studies available on whether sea levels are rising, let's do an independent study. I don't want to hear from the same old people, the same old things. I want independent studies who are going to say, look, this is what they're saying. This is what we actually have come up with. So we can look at apples to apples, or is it apples to oranges, and compare and figure it out. Again, I don't know enough, so I want to know more. Wouldn't you?
Yes. Do you... Would you do anything to make sure the city and its residents are prepared for future droughts?
Of course. I think that's a great idea. I know that there have been some issues. I've read some articles where some people have gotten in trouble for storing water. Again, I'd need more education on this. What are the rules for people being able to store their own water from rainwater and filter it and things like that. I mean, heck, when we've had some heavy rains in the past in our little balcony, we've collected water to use for our plants that are there. So, I mean, I think there are some great ideas that people have had, the community has had, and I feel like these ideas could be better implemented if we had more information. And as a community, we had some open forums to ask these questions of people and bring in some experts who know better and really be sound on, okay, here's the laws in California, here's the laws in San Francisco in terms of water collection. Here's what we can do, here's what we can't do. Does anything need to be changed or improved? If it's not working, then let's improve it. And let's do it from a community, transparency for better community is my motto. Let's do it from a community-based standpoint so we get the input from everyone because we'll all learn more.
We're speaking with Michelle Bravo. She's a candidate for mayor of San Francisco. So I'd like to conclude with a lightning round, which is quick answers to a whole bunch of different questions.
I'll do my best.
It can be kind of fun. It can be kind of challenging. I want you to think about them for sure. They could be one-word answers, a few-word answers, or, you know, something relatively short, at least. First, what do you think about the use of tasers in policing?
I have been absolutely against tasers. Spoke out several times last year at the SF Police Commission. So I am absolutely no on Proposition H. We don't need them. As a community, as I said, SFPD, if they don't live here, they don't share our values. They're tired when they come in from commuting from a long way, whether it's Antioch or Novato or wherever they're commuting from. Of course, they want to use something that's basically lazy. It's just another lazy weapon. We don't need them. And they're expensive. The training is expensive. The upkeep is expensive. And they kill people. So no on taser weapons.
How about legalized adult use recreational marijuana? Do you think that's good or bad?
I don't have a problem with it. I myself am not into it, but I know that I have clients who are. And you know what? It's recreational or for health reasons. If it's legal, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. It's, again, it's not my thing, but doesn't mean that somebody else shouldn't have it.
Charter schools versus conventional public schools.
Conventional public schools are where I attended, and I had a great education as far as I'm concerned. Probably look at investing more into public schools if that is needed here in San Francisco. Charter schools, I'm not really that sold on yet.
What do you think about the Golden State Warriors coming to San Francisco?
Well, I mean, as Angela pointed out at the last mayoral forum we all attended, Angela Aliotto, you know, they used to be known as the Warriors. I can't remember.
They were the San Francisco Warriors. They played at the Cow Palace.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, they were here before. Now they've returned. Again, I think the poor planning on the part of City Hall building yet another structure over on 3rd Street was a mistake. Big time. We've already got traffic issues there. They think people are going to use Muni. People don't want to use Muni. They want to take a Lyft or an Uber or drive their car. That's the reality, okay? So, yeah, the planning of where the stadium is not great. I'm happy they're back. I'm sad that the other place left, you know, Oakland lost them. But, happy they're back. And in terms of traffic and everything, well, that'll be a major issue that we'll have to undertake if I were to get into, you know, to office as mayor.
What do you think about the Central Subway?
Central Subway. Okay, so with regard to the Central Subway, which has been construction going out, not sad because I'm at 450 Sutter, so that construction has been going on for years. We are talking about the one to Chinatown, right?
Right.
Okay. It is over budget, and once again, this is why I would want to Municipal Transportation Agency, they need a serious redress on this particular issue, a serious redress. I would dress them down all right if I became San Francisco mayor on this particular issue and others.
What do you think about how Mid-Market Street changed during the Lee administration?
I'm going to back up and tell you what I know, just because it's pretty much what I understand. I'm happy to see that things are looking a little cleaner in terms of businesses coming in. I feel like City Hall didn't really know what they were doing when they gave tax breaks to very wealthy companies. I don't blame the tech companies themselves. They're businesses. They saw an opportunity. Here's a city saying, oh, we're not going to negotiate anything. We're just going to give you free tax breaks. Who wouldn't take it, tech or otherwise? So I don't blame the tech companies. I blame City Hall for not having the foresight to say, where are they going to put all their people? Where are their people going to live? They're young. Of course they want to live in San Francisco. So while it's been great to see a little bit of change and a little bit of upgrading, this whole plan of giving tax breaks without negotiation was a bad one, in my opinion. We can do better as a city, and I would look to renegotiate that, or at least talk with the tech companies. I mentioned this previously. Get more open forums so that, you know, we can get some ideas from the community about what to do.
What do you hate most about San Francisco?
There really isn't much that I hate. I love San Francisco.
There must be something.
I would say just the recent state of affairs, which brought me to running for mayor in the first place. Our streets are filthy. Tourists are afraid to come here. I wouldn't say hate. I'd say, again, more concerned and worried, because there really isn't anything to hate about San Francisco. It's a beautiful place to live. We have wonderful, wonderful people here for the most part. We have less than 1 million people, and we have billions of dollars in our city budget. We can do better.
Well, this one might be easier for you then. What do you love most about San Francisco?
Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is the Transamerica building. As a child, it was always my favorite building. It still is. This is going to be a little more of a holistic conversation, but it represents both. It's in balance with the city itself in that it has the masculine, the triangle up, and the feminine on either side of its spire. Representing the feminine. So it's very much in balance with the city in terms of the height and the look and the feel of it. And it is iconic. And no matter how big they build these other buildings, that building will always get my attention first.
Thank you very much.